first take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Let's get you started with a couple of headlines. Tony Ferguson suffered an orbital bone fracture during Saturday's main event loss at UFC 249, multiple sources told ESPN. Dana White, obviously UFC president, first revealed the injury to Yahoo Sports. Some say it will require surgery, but that surgery hasn't yet been scheduled. He was discharged from a Jacksonville, Florida hospital early Monday morning. That was the only major injury he suffered in the fight. That's a pretty big one for your only one. Next up on your headlines, you need to know, Premier League will be restarting, getting a boost as the UK government has set a June 1st date. So it looks like at this point they could resume behind closed doors from starting June 1st after the UK government set out a roadmap to emerge from coronavirus lockdown measures on Monday. It's a 50-page document titled Our Plan to Rebuild the UK's Government COVID-19 Recovery Strategy. So it has several different limitations, and one of the things it includes is permitting cultural and sporting events to take place behind closed doors for broadcast while avoiding the risk of large-scale social contact. So it looks like they're at least setting in place a plan on how we could start to get soccer back in the UK, and that's a plan the entire globe will have an eye on as we look forward to what it could mean for us here. And speaking of that, Dr. Anthony Fauci has weighed in on the NFL season. Says it depends on testing response to a second wave of coronavirus in the fall. And really, it's the perfect setup, according to him, to spread the virus. So diligent testing and how the nation responds to a second wave of the virus in the fall will help determine what the 2020 NFL season could look like. That's Dr. Fauci telling NBCSports.com. One of the interesting things he said in the process of talking to them is that he envisions a world where if we really want to be safe and limit any possible spread of the virus, we would need to test players as late as Saturday night or Sunday morning and only allow the players that test negative to play in the actual game. I cannot imagine the impact that would have to things like fantasy football in Vegas when suddenly massive changes are made to lineups the morning of a game. Those are your headlines. First take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Also, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You can tweet me, Jason Fitz, at Jason Fitz. We're asking you guys, what athlete do you want to see cross over and play another sport? And what sport do you want to see him play? Having a little fun. I mean, The Last Dance obviously gives us a peek now into Michael Jordan, a little bit of the baseball conversation. So it had us laughing as we were putting the show together, trying to think of what athlete you'd want to see when we come back from the pandemic, suddenly playing a different sport, and what sport would you want to see them play? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's the way you can get in on the conversation. And I would say we've already gotten several tweets for Zion. So we all know Zion, but don't just tell me Zion, Travis. Tell me what sport you want to see him play also. So let's get to some straight talk. Before we get your take, we'll get straight talk. And they have the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan. 25 gigs of high speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Saves you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. And the straight talk comes in the form of more analysis on The Last Dance. We get the next couple of episodes. And at this point, we're at least asking the question. Last week, the question was, is it all too much of a commercial for Michael Jordan? Is it making Michael Jordan look bad or look too good throughout the process? Well, got a little bit of the opposite going on here. Stephen A. and Max debating whether or not The Last Dance is frankly just a bad look for Scottie Pippen.
The other thing is, and I just got to say it, and I take no pleasure in saying this because I love the guy personally, but Scottie Pippen looks very, very bad in this docuseries overall. And through his own words, nobody else's. This is not about Jordan. This is not about Phil Jackson or anybody else. Let's think about this, y'all, for a second. I think episode number two, we see Scottie Pippen admitting that he delayed his surgery and didn't get it taken care of during the summer because his attitude was he was being underpaid by the Bills, by the Bulls, and damn them, he wasn't going to F up his summer. And so as a result, he missed the first 35 games. He was talking about never playing in a Bulls uniform again and essentially procrastinated and delayed his arrival for that last season on purpose. Then last night we saw in 1994, you refused to check into a game when Phil caught the last play for Tony Kukoc. But prior to that, don't miss it. Prior to that, they were talking about how the Bulls were successful that year because they ran the triangle to near perfection with, you know, with Scottie Pippen obviously being the architect, but Tony Kukoc had hit the game-winning shot on several occasions, and they were winning by sharing the basketball because Michael Jordan wasn't there to yell at them, and he wasn't there to always take the final shot. So it wasn't like Phil Jackson was asking of something, asking you to make a sacrifice that you hadn't made already on several occasions during that season. So we got to take that into consideration as well. And so when you look at it from that perspective, those two elements, those two moments in this docuseries, along with the obvious migraine that he couldn't help. This is an all-time 50 great player. As far as I'm concerned, one of the top three defenders in the history of basketball, a six-time champion, a good dude, the whole bit. But those three things, the migraine, the contract dispute, and then not checking into a game, all of those things are the things that resonate about Scottie Pippen. And I don't think he looks good with this docuseries at all.
Well, let me touch on the Pippen thing first, since you brought it up, Stephen A. Scottie Pippen, let's not forget, this is not just a game. This is game three of a playoff series against the Knicks, right? Like, he doesn't, yep. And then let's take into consideration, Pippen wasn't a great shooter. Kukoc was a much better shooter. And then let's take into consideration, it worked. Kukoc hit the shot and they won. I mean, like, it makes Pippen look terrible, I agree. And unlike, I've heard it compared, I read recently where someone on that Bulls team compared it to, like, Bill Buckner in 1986 letting the ball go between his legs. But that's an honest mistake on the field of play. Of course, Buckner was going for the ball. Just one of those things went through his legs. This is Pippen's choice not to go in. So for him to compound that mistake all these years later, and the documentary did a great job last night of building you up to think, here comes Pippen with a mea culpa. For him instead to say, I'd have done the same thing all over again, is a really bad look, and I would hope Scottie would reconsider that.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Why? Why would Scottie reconsider it? I mean, if he turns around and says, oh, yeah, that was a bad look, that was a bad decision, we're only going to continue to vilify him to an even higher level for the decisions that he made. Look, frankly, to me, I will continue to say this. We are all speaking for and about Scottie Pippen, like he doesn't have the ability to come out and say exactly what he wants to say, exactly how he wants to say it. If Scottie Pippen has a problem with the way he's being portrayed, or if he frankly cares what any of us think about the way he's being portrayed, he works for us. He works for ESPN. Good God. If Scottie Pippen has any issue, if he has any level of give a damn about what we're all saying about Scottie Pippen, he can certainly call any of us, myself included, and get all the airtime he possibly wants. So, my biggest recommendation through all of this is that we realize at some point that Scottie's got one thing that we may not be able to put our thumb on as we look across the landscape of that era. He's got self-confidence in who he is, how he did it, and the way he got it done. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're asking you guys, what athlete do you want to see crossover, play another sport, and what sport do you want to see him play? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Allen in South Dakota, what do you got? What's your answer for this one? Allen, we got you. Once, twice, I can't hear Allen. So we'll go on from Allen. Let's go to Steven in Massachusetts. Steven, what do you got? What's your take?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, man.
Yeah, good. I'm saying Tom Brady when he got drafted by the Expos in 1995.
So you want to see Brady come back and play baseball?
No, it was just a thought, like how far he would have gone in his career with the Expos. He said at the time he was better at baseball than football.
Well, you know, I'm all in. Thanks for your take on it. I'm all in for the concept of Tom Brady just getting on the mound. I don't think it would look pretty at this point. I got to say, I don't think it would look pretty, but maybe I'm wrong. Tristan in Pittsburgh. Tristan, what do you got? What's your take on who you want to see play another sport and what sport?
Hey, Jason, I want to see Jadeveon Clowney or Montez Sweat, two humongous freak athletes with really fast 40 times, 4.4 for Montez Sweat, 4.5 for Jadeveon Clowney, go play rugby over in Australia and see them just blow people up as they're running past them with the ball. I think it would be an amazing spectacle to watch freak athletes like that, defensive linemen that are normally in the trenches, go over and actually be in the trenches in a different sport like that with rugby.
I love that take on it. Two things that I can't get out of my head is, one, how much bigger they would be than everybody at that spot. And then two, we just take for granted how these guys that are massive human beings still run 40 yards faster than any of us ever could imagine. So keep your take coming. What athlete do you want to see crossover play a different sport, and what sport you want to see him play? Let's get creative. 888-SAVE-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get some more of your take on that coming up. But the Scottie Pippen conversation continued through First Take. Jackie McMullen joined First Take to talk about the Last Dance and Scottie's questionable decisions.
It was one of the biggest mistakes of his career. It's something that has followed him everywhere he's gone. But I would push back in this regard. He was a 20-something-year-old kid who immediately after this happened, when his teammates were shocked, his coach, people were in tears, he was in tears in himself, and he apologized to them. And then he went out and played great. Now, I know it doesn't change history, but it just feels like, where's all the great stuff about Scottie Pippen, all the amazing defensive plays he made, the way he could guard every position just about on the floor? So I have some sympathy for Scottie Pippen today. I really do.
Well, let me push back on you just a little bit, Jackie McMullen. It's always an honor to have one of the matriarchs of this business on the show. Really appreciate you being here. Here's where I would push back, though. I think they have shown a lot of highlights of Scottie Pippen's greatness, some of the things he did on the floor, passing the ball, dunking on Ewing, defending, et cetera, et cetera. But the reason why I can't come to Scottie Pippen's defense so much is because it would be one thing if Jordan said it. Literally, Scottie Pippen is on the documentary saying, I probably would have done it again. He was the one on the documentary in part two saying, with the contract, when he delayed his surgery, you know what? I felt I was getting screwed over by the Bulls. My attitude was F them, and I didn't care, so I didn't want to mess up my summer. And as a result, it led to him missing the first 35 games of that final season, in which he had talked about at one time, you know something? I may never play in a Bulls uniform again. Those were his words. So it's hard for me to sit up there and give him a pass or to feel like he's being portrayed negatively when it's his words that's indicting himself. What do you say to that?
No, I understand that. And that was one of the most stunning parts of this whole clip, was Scottie's response. Now, I haven't talked to Scottie specifically about this. I'd be curious to know, did he make those comments after seeing all the other, comments from the teammates that he played with all these years later? Is it a defense mechanism against something that he knows is going to be a stain on his reputation for the rest of his career? I can't answer those questions because I wasn't able to ask Scottie specifically about that. And listen, it was a mistake. No one's going to argue that. And Scottie really shouldn't either. But Stephen A., you've been around these professional athletes a long time. It's very hard for them to admit when they're human and when they've made an error. And I think that's what you're seeing there.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
Jackie, great to see you as always. Jackie and I go way back to the
Max,
around the horn days, Stephen A.
Yes, we do, great. Sir. These 10 things I know are true.
So. there you go. So Pippen, I read, and I wish I could remember offhand, but I've read a lot, and recently about this, to refresh my memory, where a teammate of his mentioned that that it's like Bill Buckner with the ball going under his legs. But the difference there is Bill Buckner made an honest mistake. He tried. He put effort forth on a field of competition, and the ball went through his legs. It's one of those things. This was a choice Scottie made. And then when given a chance to say, maybe I do it differently, he said, no, I do it the same way again as you and Stephen A. just said. And that rings to me like a guy who always had, who was chafing under Jordan's shadow. And yet he's known as like the greatest second banana ever, right? In your experience covering that team, did Scottie have a problem with his position on the team?
Well, it's funny. The Scottie Pippen of today was a very different Scottie Pippen than the one that was playing. He was a very, very shy, quiet guy. He was not someone that liked to deal with the media a lot. I don't think it was in his personality. He's an introvert. I think he and Jordan at oftentimes were as close could be. I think they grew to love each other and really appreciate what one did for the other. Both have said they could never have won this, had this dynasty happen without the other. They're the only two players that are consistent for all six championships. Having said that, think about it if you're Scottie Pippen. This is your moment. Michael Jordan's gone to play baseball. You have become the best player on the team. You have delivered. You have been a focal point. And then here comes the big moment. Score tied in the final seconds of the game. You're getting ready to take the winning shot. You're told that you're not going to take it, that you're going to be a decoy. And the person that's going to take it is the person who got paid more than you without ever playing a single game for the Chicago Bulls, who has come over from Croatia. And I'm just trying to be inside Scottie Pippen's head in that moment. He's a very, very proud person. In that moment, I think he thought, Phil, why are you doing this to me? This is my time. It's my turn. Now, one of his ex-teammates, you know, said to me, hey, how would Michael Jordan feel if Phil Jackson drew up that final play with for Tony Kukoc while Michael Jordan is standing there? Well, we know the answer. Phil would never do that because Scottie Pippen isn't Michael Jordan. Nobody's Michael Jordan. But if you're Scottie Pippen, you're thinking, I was the good soldier. I played the second fiddle. I didn't complain. This was my moment, and you took it from me. So in that moment, in the heat of competition, I can understand this reaction. Do I condone it? No. Do I think it was the right thing to do? No, but, I mean, he's a human being. Can we at least understand how this may have transpired?
That was our Last Dance recap brought to you by AT&T. As always, Jackie McMullen with great points on that and real context. That's part of what we have to have when we look at this documentary, is some context to what was going on, and that's what the documentary is trying to provide. I understand at some point that we want to make villains and heroes out of every episode, but let's also realize that what this is a 10-part series meant to give us a look behind the curtain at the entirety of what this Bulls dynasty was about, good and bad. And while we can obviously focus on some of the decisions made by Scottie Pippen, and we can sit there and analyze whether or not it was the right thing to do, if you're Scottie Pippen and you start walking things back now, it only re-energizes the conversation entirely throughout the process of it. I will say it again. Scottie Pippen has every ability right now, above and beyond ever, in a world where Craig Hodges can make national news because he's speaking out against The Last Dance and the way it's being portrayed, don't we think that Scottie Pippen would have every ability to speak out if he has a real issue with it? What we've seen through this and what we should learn through this is that at the very least, Scottie Pippen is somebody that looks at his situation and is determined that he's done things the way he wanted to do them, he's done things the way that has been best for him, and he is at least confident in enough in that to not care what any of us think about it. If he didn't care what any of us thought about it then, why would he care what any of us think about it now? And as much as we're wrapped into The Last Dance, because frankly, we don't have other sports to occupy any level of our creative juices at this point, our competitive juices, and we're taking every ounce of this to heart as much as we are, for Scottie Pippen, he can still look back and say, you know what? I got the rings. I got the legacy. I have the career. I don't care what any of you think. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. Don't forget, tune in to The Last Dance. It's behind the scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Then listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. We're brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. If you could have any athlete training for a different life, yeah, we're going to let you put any athlete in any other sport. What athlete do you want to see playing what sport? That's what we're asking you to chime in on. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Lisa in Massachusetts. Lisa, what do you got? What's your take on this one?
Hey, and I would love to see Julian Edelman go into baseball.
Oh, you think he'd be good? I think he'd be good, right?
I think he would. First of all, he's got the wheels. We know he can run, so he'd be great on the outfield. We know he can catch. And, you know, he used to throw quarterback, so he could actually even fill in as a pitcher, even in relief.
Look at that. Lisa's got it all figured out. She's not wrong. Like, I'll take a lot of these guys. We transfer a lot of people over to football. I like the thought of transferring some of these football players over to other sports. I love that take. Let's go to Luke in Iowa. Luke, what do you got as an athlete you want to see cross over and do something different?
Yeah, I would like to see some of our highest caliber athletes, you know, take participation in maybe like a all-round track and field kind of thing. Like, see Kareem Hunt try to go up against like Usain Bolt in like a 100-meter dash or something.
Oh my God, you have just, I mean, look, if the bosses are listening right now, we need to make this happen. Like, give me a wide world of sports that's like Olympic athletes against, you know, major sports stars from all different sports, and then they cross over and compete in each other's different events. So you can have a little 3-on-3 basketball, you can have a little like 7-on-7 football, some sort of flag football, but then you can also have like long jump and track and field. Oh man, I'm all in on that. Mike in California, what do you got as someone you want to see cross over and play another sport?
What's up? What's up? I got Russell Westbrook and tennis. I'm going to say the combination of size, skill, speed, and just his competitive edge on a one-on-one sport like that. I mean, it'd be tough to beat him point after point. I'd love to see him in a Grand Slam run if he had training, of course.
Well, look, I mean, A, yes, you're right about all those things. B, I just want to see that look. We all know that Russ look when he's not happy with something. Like the first time the ump makes a call he doesn't like, oh, I want to see that look coming from him in the glare. Like, we think tennis players go off. I think Russ could chew somebody out. I think that would be, that'd be awesome. Don't forget, guys, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. Brings you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. It's presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. We're going to keep taking your take. Obviously, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to keep taking your take on what athlete you want to see crossover, play a different sport, and what sport do you want to see them play. Coming up, one of the biggest leagues in the world will be back in just a matter of weeks. We're going to be getting live sports. We'll talk to an expert on how they can come back and what it's going to look like. We'll do all that next. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you guys, hang out with us. Tell me, in honor of the last dance, taking a look at Michael Jordan and the baseball moment that we lovingly look back on at this point. In honor of that moment, we want you to tell us what athlete you want to see crossover and play another sport, and what sport do you want to see them play? So don't just give me the who, give me the who and the what. Always on the show. Don't make me dig for details. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. Aaron in Iowa. Aaron, what do you got? Who do you want to see play a different sport?
Jason, I'd like to see Taco Fall as a jockey.
My man, that is the best. That is the best idea of all time, just to watch him get out of the gates. If we could see Taco Fall as a jockey, I'm just imagining all of the jockeys around him trying to figure out what the heck is going on. Keep your take coming. We'll take more of it in just a moment. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But let's get to some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And that comes in the form of the fact that it looks like we are going to get Premier League. It looks like soccer is going to be back. There's at least the plan. It looks like everything started in motion. So to get a little bit of expertise on it, we're joined now by ESPN FC soccer analyst Craig Burley. Craig, thanks for your time. I hope you and yours are safe first and foremost. How is this plan being enacted that will allow the Premier League to come back?
First of all, good afternoon. Hope everyone is well in the circumstances. Secondly, obviously all sports in all countries, it's a huge talking point for trying to get some action back, even if it's behind closed doors. What's happened here, like a lot of the major leagues around Europe, is the Premier League have been trying to find a way to get the games back on, but there's been a lot of to and fro between the clubs in terms of, you know, neutral venues, you know, behind closed doors, where they're going to play the games, when they're going to play the games. The FA, the Football Association, who are the governing body of all soccer in England and who have a special interest in the Premier League, have stepped in and said, you cannot void the season. So you either must finish the season or you must determine relegation, title, Champions League football on probably a points per game basis. So this is, on top of that, the government have said from June 1st, you can prepare to get some action going. So the Premier League have said they're looking into early June. They're not going to say when the games are going to commence, if at all. And I believe there may even be a 48-hour notice to stop large gatherings. So basically what's happened here, the Football Association have stepped in. And for all sorts of legal matters, the Premier League are now trying their damnedest to get these games played somehow.
We're talking to ESPN FC soccer analyst Craig Burley. So any indication on if and how they'd be testing players for coronavirus if they're playing again?
Well, this is this side of the pond. It is the same in the UK. It is a bone of contention, the disparity between what the government are saying in terms of testing and what's actually been done. So I really don't know, but clearly, Jason, even behind closed doors, there are going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of people when you think of all the matches that need to be played, have to be tested on a regular basis, probably on a daily basis, to make sure that the next time they enter the stadium, and that includes the players, that the next time they enter a stadium, that they're not positive for COVID-19. So it's a heck of a lot of testing. There is no guarantee that this is going to happen, that the games are going to start. They've been given a green light to do so, but there's a lot of voting going on because the Premier League clubs are voting on where they want to play. Most of them want to play at their own stadiums. Some of them want to play at neutral venues. It's a real bone of contention. But the problem is, if the bottom three teams at the moment don't get the season started again, it will go to a PPG, a points per game basis. And that means without kicking another ball, they're going to be relegated. That's going to cost them millions upon millions of dollars in revenue when they drop to the second tier of football. So there are a lot of vested interests in what teams want to do. And of course, the three or four teams that are just above the relegation zone, they're quite keen for the season to be null and voided because that takes them out of the relegation threat. So there's a lot of vested interest going on between all the parties involved. And guess what? For all the pandemic out there, this revolves around the dollar.
Doesn't everything that we're talking about in sports, we're talking to ESPN FC soccer analyst Craig Burley. And Craig, you're so right to continually say that you can follow the dollars to figure out what's what matters to people here. So when you talk about the players themselves, do you have any indication on how comfortable the players are coming back and playing in these situations?
Well, we got asked this the other day on our show, and some of us are kind of old school, although we like to think we're not that old, but, you know, having played in the 90s and the early 2000s, you know, obviously, you're a dinosaur now, but, you know, I certainly, from my point of view, if it was me in the situation, I don't think I would have a problem playing, and I think that goes for a lot of guys, but the mentality of the modern sportsman is kind of different, and there has been one or two high-profile players like Sergio Aguero from Manchester City, the Argentinian striker, one of the best players in the Premier League. He's voiced concerns. He hasn't said he won't play, but he's voiced concerns. So it clearly is an issue for some of the players. And of course, if certain players, if the season does start again, and certain players decide they're not going to play, I don't think there's a great deal anybody can do about that. That's a personal decision. So I think those players will be, Jason, in the minority, but I do think there may be some, if the season starts again, might decide for personal reasons not to participate.
I find it interesting, Craig, that, you know, we've heard so much from the NBA side that they may need a little training camp, essentially, to get ready to play again.
Yeah.
So for these athletes, is there a little buffer time that they'll need to get ready to go back on the field?
Well, yeah, and that's the other reason why it probably won't be, you know, the first week in June that the season would resume. But because then they're going to need, in my experience, and I'm hardly the athlete these days, but my experience is they're going to need minimum 2 to 3 weeks, probably 3 weeks of training. And that's the other bone of contention, because they can't start that at the moment. They can't start that training at the moment because the government has not allowed the public in the UK to congregate in those kind of numbers. So it's still very complex. The training together looks as if it's going to be at least another 10 days to 2 weeks away. So if you add 3 weeks onto that, you're getting towards the middle of June, kind of before a resumption is possible, because you can't just throw these players in. Any sports person playing at that kind of level, at that kind of speed, at that kind of tempo, you can't just throw players in and say, go on, you've had a rest, play. It just doesn't work like that. So I would say these guys will need at least 3 weeks of good, hard, what we would call preseason training.
Follow him on Twitter at CBurleyESPN to keep up with all the great, the latest on it. Craig, we really appreciate your expertise, your insight on it. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us. We appreciate it.
No problem. Take care.
This is such an interesting moment to be in for the world, because we have to separate at some point the logic and the way that we treat athletes, because we look at people that are worth millions of dollars in many cases and that play a sport that, you know, for so many people, how often you hear it? Oh, they're playing a game. How many of us would kill to do that for a fraction of what they make? And we suddenly put that feeling into the way that we think athletes should be handling this situation. I won't do that. I mean, as Craig mentions, it is absolutely a personal choice for an athlete to decide what they're comfortable with. Now, the complication, particularly for soccer, is relegation. Imagine a world where just a few NFL teams every year were dropped down to a different level of football because they weren't good enough at the end of the year. Now imagine a season that's shortened and suddenly that's happening and you didn't have a way to change it. I mean, that is an absolutely, as Craig pointed out, that's millions of dollars that's going to be lost by different clubs if they're not able to get back and play the games. So you've got clubs with their own personal interest of needing to get back on the field, some of them, but then some clubs not wanting to get back on the field because, frankly, they've managed to avoid relegation. Then you have athletes that may or may not be comfortable getting back on the field, and you have an entire country looking at everybody saying, hey, get back out there. We want our normal. I mean, that is so difficult to process and to figure out how this should be handled by every single individual that's involved. That's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. We'll keep taking your take. We want your Straight Talk. What athlete do you want to see crossover, play another sport? And what sport do you want to see them play? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Dino in Miami, what do you got as an athlete you want to see play a different sport?
Well, yeah, we just got finished talking to Craig. Great to hear from him, and nice to you. I love your show, man. How about David Beckham going to the NFL? We'd love to see the kicker in the Miami Dolphins now we've got everything going straight.
Oh, man. I mean, Beckham coming into the NFL would be first of all, he's too good looking to be a kicker. But I do love the take. Any soccer player going over and being a kicker. By the way, I don't know what I missed on Twitter, but so many of you guys have given me different different players that you want to see play professional cornhole. I'm not sure. You know, Wildcat said Johnny Manziel plays pro cornhole. James said I want to see Shaq in cornhole. I'm getting a lot of cornhole suddenly, so I don't know what it is about that you guys are in love with. Will in Virginia, what do you got? What's your take?
While we're on the soccer train, why don't you stick Odell in the Premier League, man? He wouldn't want to watch that.
No, that is putting Odell in the Premier League would be interesting, at the very least. Hey, you know what? His personality would shine. We all love the personality portion of it. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com. Travis said Tyreek Hill playing an attacker on the soccer field. So a lot of the crossover coming that way. I find that interesting. You guys seem to like that crossover. Keep them coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. Tell us what athlete you want to see crossover, play another sport, and what do you want to see them play? We'll get more of your take. Plus, coming up, Tom Brady and the Players Coalition are joining forces for a good cause. You'll hear more about it next on First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're asking you guys, what athlete do you want to see crossover and play another sport? And what sport do you want to see them play? We've had some great answers on this one. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Don't forget, if you missed the first hour of today's show, go check it out. It's on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with a rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. We'll get more of your take in just a second on what athletes you want to see cross over. But there was an important moment today from First Take as Stephen A. chimed in on Tom Brady and the NFL Players Coalition and other pro athletes that have gone out and they're now seeking a federal investigation into the death of Ahmaud Arbery. So Stephen A. talked about the players and using their voice for this cause.
Well, I appreciate him. I appreciate his consciousness in this matter, along with the plethora of players and coaches who signed that list. I think LeBron James was on that list. Stan Van Gundy was on that list. You mentioned Steve Kerr, obviously Anquan Boldin, Malcolm Jenkins, and what they're doing. Can't say enough about them. Let's not forget the executive VP for the National Football League, Troy Vincent. His signature is on that as well, along with plenty of others. I mean, obviously, this is something that we've talked about on many, many occasions in the past. And I'm lucky to have Max here with me, as much as he brings up systemic racism and how it has ailed our nation for so many years. This is just the latest example of it. This is not a police officer shooting an unarmed black man. But as far as I'm concerned, this is just as bad. This is an vigilantism, if you want to call it that, or just flat out racism. I think it would be an insult to call it vigilantism. I think this is just flat out racism. This guy was jogging. He was not armed. He was bothered by these individuals. They pursued him. the father and son. They obviously needed to be arrested 74 days without an arrest taking place. That's just egregious. If we hadn't seen this video, they'd still be walking around scot-free, not having to worry about any repercussions whatsoever. And that gets us to the bigger issue. You have law enforcement that needs to be put under intense federal investigation. This calls for a federal investigation, make no mistake about it. Now, obviously, the coronavirus pandemic taking place, to get indicted, you've got to go before the courts and what have you. That requires a gathering, and that's not expected to be able to transpire until June. But nevertheless, they should have been arrested. They should be incarcerated. They should not be allowed out of jail. And law enforcement officials need to be investigated. The local prosecutors who failed to pursue this matter until being forced to, they need to be investigated as well. From the top down, anybody that was associated with this, because this is a former police investigator, him and his son that obviously did the shooting. It needs to be thoroughly investigated, and obviously somebody needs to pay a price. A life has been taken.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. Obviously, as I've said before, I don't think athletes have an obligation to use their voice for good or for causes, but when they do, it can be incredibly powerful. So kudos to everybody that's been involved in that, and well spoken by Stephen A. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. We're asking you guys what athlete you want to see cross over and play another sport. What sport do you want to see him play? When you're a pastor, you get right in. Pastor Chris in West Virginia, taking you to the top. Pastor Chris, thanks for calling the show, man. What athlete do you want to see play another sport?
Oh, man, we have to see LeBron James catching NFL passes as a tight end from my man Carson Wentz in Philly.
Oh, Pastor Chris, that is a great take, but the wrong team. I mean, if LeBron's going to go play football, he should go play football in Vegas. Well, I mean, the Raiders could just add another tight end to their whole litany. Look, we all want to see this. I just want to see what everybody looks like in pads when you're going up against LeBron James. Good God, I can't even imagine that. Scott, Michigan, what's your take on this one?
Oh, Derek Jeter needs to play basketball.
Is Jeter?
He was a very talented basketball player in high school. And, well, he's a great athlete, as he's proven throughout his career.
Look, I love the take. I didn't know. I had no idea. I had no idea he played basketball. I like that one. David in Hawaii, what do you got? Who do you want to see cross over?
I got Conor McGregor going to the WWE.
Look, I'll take that all day long. I'll take Conor McGregor in the WWE all day long. No offense, Dana White. I'm sure he'd like to keep him in UFC for a little bit longer. But I'd love to see him continue to thrive. And the WWE is a great spot for Conor McGregor to go be Conor McGregor, right? If he's going to be who he is, why not go somewhere where he can be even larger and even more of a caricature of himself? I want you to keep your take coming. What athlete do you want to see crossover, play another sport? And what sport do you want to see them play? You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. You can also call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. You tell us what athlete you want to see crossover and what sport do you want to see him play. Got to do both. We're going to take more of your take. Plus, no students, no sports. Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, discussed it this week. That's next on First Take Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.